for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Memorial Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, May the 26th, 2006. Marvin Sistrunk is the speaker of this service, teaching on temptation.
Yea, I have brought thee from four winds, saith thy God. I brought thee from the north, the south, and the east, and the west. Yea, but the trumpet is sounding today for the journeying on of the camp. Yea, it is time that thou would move in progress and develop in me. Yea, that thou would stand to thy feet and take my word, saith thy God. And yea, thou would not only loose thine own self, but loose those that's round about thee. Because this is the day and the hour that I've called thee into. Thou shalt not go home. Thou shalt be even as the wise men. Thou shalt go home another way than the way that thou did come. Because you see, this is my appointment, saith thy God. Yea, that I would go thee and bring thee from where thou art into the place that I destined or ordained that thou to walk in. Thou art not weaklings. Thou art a great exceeding army. Yea, that shall stand and do warfare and bring down the kingdoms of this world, that they shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. So know thou this is a new day, a new hour that thou must move into, saith thy God.
All right. God is good? All the time? All right. Man, it's so good to be here. I thank Glenn for inviting Kathy and I to come and be a part of this ministry. Kathy and I, for a little over 20 years with Children's Bread Ministry, we're mostly in the background selling books, making tapes, and doing things like that. We very seldom get to come and teach to a location. We do a lot of one-on-one ministry. And it's an opportunity that the Lord has given us to be here, and we appreciate that. And praise and worship, oh, that makes it easy to preach, doesn't it, brother? Yeah, it does. It makes it easy to preach. Yes. Got a scripture I need to read. Let's go to Mark 16, 17 and 18. Well, let's just go 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, with those who believe. How many believe this morning? All right. Praise God. We're all believers. That makes it easier. There was a new pastor in town. This is a true story from Houston. And you'll find I like to tell stories related to what I'm teaching on. This is a true story. New pastor came to town. He was in Houston. So one day he decided to catch the bus and go downtown, and he got on the bus and gave the driver some money, and the driver gave him change back. The pastor went and sat down and looked and said, "He gave me a quarter too much." This little voice said, "All says keep it. He'll never know it. Nobody else will know it. Just keep it. Besides, the bus company makes all this money off in this fare. Then you don't have to give that back." So he pondered that until he got to his stop. He got off the bus, and just as he was getting ready to step off, he turned and handed the quarter to the driver. Says, "You gave me too much change." The driver says, "You're the new pastor in town, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, I've been looking for a church to go to," and he said, "I was testing you." He said, I'll see you in church Sunday." The pastor got off, and he said, "I literally had to grab the light post. Almost sold your son for a quarter." Temptation. What we're going to deal with this morning. A person said one time, "I can handle anything but temptation." How many's been tempted this morning? Come on, be honest. In some form or fashion, you've been tempted this morning. Honest man. We are all tempted at some times. Many fail to recognize what temptation is. All we can say, you know, I was tempted in adultery. I was tempted to drink. I was tempted to watch pornography. But there's a lot of other temptations that come on, just like that pastor. Just for a quarter. You know, what's a quarter? His reputation was on the line, and the Lord's reputation was on the line. For a quarter. For a quarter. And we're going to, at the end of my teaching, if we have time, we will do. Okay. I like that. We will have, I think it's politically correct to say, corporate deliverance. We used to say mass deliverance, but now everybody says corporate. But we're going to do some deliverance for everybody. I ask you to participate. If you've been tempted and not fallen for that temptation, you're not sinning. Temptation is not sinning. What sin is when you fall for that temptation. Because our Lord God was tempted. He was tempted. And He stood the test. He stood the test. And you know, in that story about Him being tempted and the part where Satan took Him up to the high place and told Him to look, He says, all these kingdoms I'll give you. Jesus already had them. He already had them. And what did He say? What did He say to Him? That's what He said. What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? And what comes out of your mouth is what's in the heart. So when we see temptation come, we speak to it to start with. Don't ever let it get a toehold into your life. Ministered last week to a pastor come down, needed some deliverance. Pornography. Question was, how did you get into pornography? Well, I'd heard so much about it and about the internet. So I took a look. Toehold. Got into Him. And He was caught. And we have found that that is one of the hardest spirits to get rid of, is pornography. It gets a hold onto a man and a woman, and it's hard to get rid of. It's something that sets in, and it's like it prints a picture on the brain that stays there. And it's hard to get rid of. Falling for temptation. We took Him through some deliverance. He's coming back for some more. But a pastor. How many have you heard or read about of pastors falling into pornography? Sexual abuse. We've had two cases in Lubbock, which is the big city south of us. Pastors of a church. Pastor running a daycare center. Or in jail on child abuse, sexual abuse. Temptations. Oh, temptation is out there. And we say, you know, well, I just want to take a look. I just want to take a look. That's all it takes is one look or one indulgence. You know, it's like a woman when she puts on perfume. She doesn't get a handful of that and put it on. She puts a little dab behind each ear. Just a little dab. But when she comes into the room, that perfume goes throughout that room. And that's the way temptation is. It's just a little dab. And it fills the whole room. Same way when you go into a dark room, there's no lights in there, but if you stand there long enough, you're going to get used to that darkness. You'll be able to see. You walk into a movie theater, you know, it's dark, you can't see anything. Stand there for a few minutes, and pretty soon, you can see. And that's the way temptation is. You walk into that temptation. You walk into the room of temptation, and it doesn't take long to get used to it. Once you get used to it, Satan says, I got you. Resist temptation, and it'll flee from you. You got to resist it. Never let it get started in your life. Never. Neil Anderson describes temptation as Satan's invitation to do things your own way. The essence of temptation is that we are enticed to meet legitimate needs in an illegitimate way. That's what temptation is. Just take a quarter. We had a gentleman that's in jail now there in Lubbock. His salary was nearly $2 million a year. This big oil company. charged him with embezzling $78 million from his company. Was interviewed and asked him why. He said, I was just tempted to get more. Tempted to have a salary of almost $2 million, and he still was tempted to have more. And where is he now? In jail. Where's Satan? Satan's standing out there laughing. Gotcha. He's standing out there laughing. I got you. Temptation invites us to live independent from God. Temptation says you don't need God. You can do without God. Temptation. In Neil Anderson's book, Bondage Breaker, he lists a few things that becomes temptation. Physical rest becomes laziness. Quietness becomes non-communication. The ability to profit or acquire wealth becomes greed. Enjoyment becomes self-indulgence. Now, all of these, physical rest, there's nothing wrong with physical rest. There's nothing wrong with being quiet. But if you take a physical rest and do nothing, and you just sit there, temptation comes in. What's it saying? Idle hands, idle mind, the world's workshop. Boy, he likes to get in his workshop. This one I started to leave out, but it's temptation. Enjoyment of food becomes gluttony. Self-care becomes selfishness. Anger becomes rage and bad temper. Judgment becomes criticism. These are all temptations. Always wanting to judge somebody or something else. Sexual freedom becomes immorality. Self-protection becomes dishonesty. And it goes on and on and on. Lust is our biggest temptator because lust satisfies the flesh. Lust makes the flesh feel good. And since we walk around in a fleshly body, that's where Satan really tempts us and puts that temptation out there. Back in the 60s, I believe it was, when we had a saying going around, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good to the flesh, do it. Well, that's not true. Don't do it. Lust of the flesh is self-indulgence to be governed by our appetite. Now, our appetite for what? For more wealth? For more sex? More freedom, anything that makes the flesh feel good is temptation. It's temptation. And I think that's the reason the Lord said you'll have a glorified body when you go be with Him. Because He doesn't want this corrupt flesh body. He wants a glorified body. And this earthly body, we have indulged too many temptations at times. Pride of life sometimes become self-importance. Lust, pride, lust of the eye, the things that we see. My, that's a beautiful new SUV over. I wished I had one like that. Well, right now with the gas prices, you don't need one. You don't need one like that. But you see, we have to guard every day that we're out in the world about temptation. And I've always said, if what I preach on Sunday, I have to walk out the next week. So, I preached this Sunday before last, I guess it was. And I work in the government, county government. I work with Homeland Security. And so I preached on temptation and anger. Well, boy, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I had to walk out while I preached. I called Kathy and I told her to pray for me. And things were, just everywhere I turned, there was things coming at me wanting to get me angry. Had a guy call me and he said, I'm coming in the office. I'm going to straighten you out. Well, I had done a little praying before he got there. And he came in and I told him what the rules were. And he got up and left and said, okay. But I could have not prayed and I could have said, well, just let him come in here. I'll straighten him out. But I didn't. I didn't do that. I didn't let the temptation come. I stopped it before it manifested. I stopped it before it started to grow. That's what we have to do. And every one of us, somewhere along the line, we're tempted by something, somewhere, every day. We have a chance to fall into sin every day. It's our attitude that we need to look at. It's our attitude, am I going to fall for that? Am I going to be tempted into things I know I shouldn't do? It just takes one little look, or maybe one quarter, and you can sign. You could sell your Lord for a quarter. Strongholds of behavior begins with strongholds in the mind. And strongholds are what causes us to have temptation sometimes. And I'm going to be teaching more on later on strongholds. If we get another round, we'll talk about strongholds. Sexual lust demands physical expressions. That's why we need to choose to yield, not to yield our bodies to temptation, but to yield our bodies to the Lord. Make no provision for lust of the flesh and not give place to the devil. Don't give him any footholds. You may think, well, it's just, you know, it's just a little thing. It doesn't matter. But little things grow. Yeah. Little things grow. Little things grow. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh." Make no provisions. Don't get in a situation that you're going to be tempted. We, coming down here, I took a wrong turn. I was driving, so I can't say we. I took a wrong turn. So I thought this was a convenience store. I said, well, I gave in. I'm sorry, man. I gave in. I went to ask for directions, okay? Well, I thought it was a convenience store. So I whipped in there and went in. And the lady said, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes. Do you know where Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is?" She said, "Never heard of it." And I looked around. I was in a liquor store. I asked in directions to a Bible camp. I said, "I don't know where it is." I could tell they didn't know where it was. But give no temptation. Don't make room for something to get a hold of you. Don't leave like the pastor that I minister to. Just wanted to take a look. Heard so much about it. Same thing with the Da Vinci Code. I don't know how y'all stand on that. Huh? It's demonic from word go. Yeah. See, it's another ploy that the devil has come up with. He's tried everything in the past. We've come against him and defeated him there. So it's another deploy that he's coming around a different direction, a different eye, a way that he's trying to get into us, to tempt us to believe that's fiction. He says, what's the guy's name? Brown, I think, wrote the book or whatever. He says it's Christian fiction. That don't ring a bell. Christian fiction, okay? But you know who's going to see the movie? Who's buying the tickets? Christians. The young Christians. And it's going to put a seed back there in their mind. It says, maybe this is right. Maybe he is right. But it's another way that Satan has tempted us. Has opened us up. Well, my theory is like the FBI. When the FBI trains their officers in counterfeit money, they don't train them to spot counterfeits. They train them to spot the real thing. That's me. I want to know, and I found and spotted the real thing. It's right here. Da Vinci Code or whatever. One guy took that Da Vinci Code and he took the book, I believe it was the book Moby Dick. And he went into there and got codes out of that things were going to happen or happened. It's however how you want them to make it come out. The story is that figures don't lie. but liars can figure. Okay? Remember that. 2 plus 2 is still 4, I think. Is that an absolute? All right. But you see what's happening in the world? Satan is out here. He hasn't been able to tempt you any other way, so he's come up with another plan. I think I'll just take the scriptures and I'll put them in a book and I'll say it's fiction. It's all right to read because it's not true, but I understand in the book they say the pictures that is depicted in this book and the manuscripts that are depicted in this book are fact. Are fact. So, we've got people that's being tempted by this book, this movie. And all it is Satan. You see, if Satan would walk in here with a red suit, a pitchfork on, and horns on his head, we'd say, hey, that's Satan. No, he's coming in a three-piece suit. He comes in a three-piece suit. He comes as the light. He's something you like to look at, right? Yeah, he comes in things that you like to look at, things that you'll recognize. Hey, that's good. That's all right. It's all right. Then he's got the toehold. He's got a toehold in your life. And then once he gets that, gotcha. 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 You know, you set out. I got a cat that visits my backyard pretty regularly. I'm not against cat lovers, okay? Just don't want them in my yard. I don't have any. I got a neighbor has a dog, but this cat comes in and we have bird feeders and he gets our birds and we don't like that. I have set a trap for him. I have put shrimp in there. Surely a cat loves shrimp. Nothing. I cannot tempt that cat. I have to do something else. He still comes in. He walks right by that trap. Piece of shrimp hanging there. He says, looks at that trap. Mm-mm, not me. I'm not going in there. Yeah. Not going in there. Now. I'm trying to protect my birds. Oh, we do. We have a lot of birds in our backyard. We have some of the prettiest doves come in. And we have different birds. And it's just fascinating to watch them and enjoyable to watch them, you know. But it really gets me when I go out there in the morning and there's feathers scattered everywhere. But you see, that cat is smart. He says, that's a trap. He's got a trap set for me. I'm not buying it. Can we recognize when Satan sets a trap for us? Can we recognize it? If it's not lining up here, if it's not lining up with this word. That's right. How many of you brought a Bible this morning? Let's see. Isn't that good? Oh, all right. That's your own Bible, right? Not furnished. Not furnished by the church. You know, you go in some churches and they got a Bible on the pew. You don't have to bring your Bible. No. If they're coming, I'm sorry. But this is the way I feel. If they're coming in a church without a Bible, they're not reading their Bible at home. No, it's sitting there, the hymn book here and the Bible here. You know, you got to read. So you got a Bible. I know this is words on paper, but it's the truth. It's not counterfeit, you know. And if we try to take and reason with this, we'll lose. We'll lose. You know, maybe. Here, just right here in Mark 15:32. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him, revive him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he descended from the cross? Okay. See, it's written down there. You believe it.
He didn't get down off the cross and go to the south of France.
But we've got the Da Vinci Code, we've got the Judas Gospel, and then we've got the Jesus Papers. Boy, he's throwing all kinds of bait out there. If I can't catch him with worms, I'm going to try corn. If I can't catch him with corn, I'm going to try with shrimp. He's throwing something out there, trying to get a nibble. And you go, probably a lot of you go fishing here in Arkansas. And you know, if you get a nibble, man, hot dogs. Yeah. Well, now, where we live, and LaVon can testify to this. Now, LaVon's a golfer. He's not a fisherman. But where we live right in the middle of fishing country. 500 miles over here or 500 miles over there to the fishing hole. See, Texas and Arkansas are pretty close alike. All except, you know, y'all have trees. Y'all have water. And y'all have humidity. Other than that, Texas and Arkansas are alike, you know. But in Texas, I can look and see. I want to go over there. I can see where I want to go. Here, you got to go around all the trees. That's good. That's all right. Sometimes I wish we had more trees. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We go around confessing that we're spirit-filled. We had a song in the sanctuary. Let me make me a sanctuary. Do you know what sanctuary really means? Holy of Holies. That's where God lives. So when you say, make me a sanctuary, make me where God lives. Make me where God lives. My granddaughter, at the time she was about 6 years old, and her dad was going in to have some heart work done, checkup, and what do they call it, angioplasty, where they run in there and look at the heart and all that. And so they were explaining to her what was going to take place. They said, what's they going to do? They're going to put a thing in there and take some pictures of Daddy's heart. And she said, oh, they'll see Jesus. All right. A little one. She knew that Jesus lived in her heart. He also lived in her daddy's heart. You know. You have to listen to these little ones at times. Listen to them. See, we were given the authority, the power, and the authority. When the Holy Spirit came and filled us, and when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the authority that was given to us. The problem is that we don't use that authority a lot of times. It's hard for some people to believe that they have authority against Satan. Oh, you know, that's Satan. I'm not getting close to that. Had a pastor call me from a church one time, and he said, I think we got this man in our church. I think he has a demon. And I said, well, just cast it out. Oh, we don't do those things. All we do is funerals and weddings. I'm holding the phone. All right. Well, if you can get him here, send him to us, you know. Because one pastor said, I don't do deliverance. I said, why? Man, that's work. That's work. And I said, well, you're supposed to be spirit-filled. You're anointed with the Holy Ghost. You've got the power and authority. But somewhere along the line, something had got into him that he didn't want to deal with the devil. Some temptation come in and said, don't touch the devil, he'll get you. Well, that's one of the things that I like about doing deliverance. When I can get a hold of the devil and defeat him. And sometimes we have to be bold about it. Don't be timid. Satan's not. We have to have boldness when we deal with that. We have to have boldness when we come against Satan. Just checking out one in our supermarket. It's called, in our area, it's called United Supermarkets. I don't know what y'all have in this area, but big chain. Not United? Okay. And this checker that we generally would go to, very nice lady and a mature lady. And we were there, and I said, well, how's your day today? She said, I have had a migraine headache all day today. She said, I hope I can just make it till I get off. Never done this before. Never been prompted to. I just reached over. A long line of people behind us. Reached over, laid my hand on her, and I started praying and rebuking that spirit of migraine headaches. It's gone. It's gone. paid my bill and left. Kathy was back in the store the next day, and she come up to Kathy and says, I haven't had a headache since your husband prayed for me. But now I could have been listening to Satan and said, don't do that here and all this people. And all this public, out in the public, don't do that. You're supposed to do that behind closed doors. No, nope. Put it out in the open. Put it out in the open. Because if, we have to confess. If we don't confess Jesus before men, he's not going to confess us to the Father. You know, I have a problem of, with that. I think if you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, that you should be bold enough to just tackle anything that comes along from Satan. You know that you can defeat him, but don't let him tempt you to stay quiet. Because if you don't stir anything up, everything's going to be okay. Everything will be all right. No. 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 He gave us the authority, and we need to use it. And that's our problem a lot of times. We don't use the authority. Sister Ida tells a story at home. And that was back when Sister Ida and Frank Hammond were traveling all over the world. I mean, they've been into Russia and Poland and all this and doing spiritual warfare. And just glorious things were happening and everything. And across the alley from them, they had this bunch of people that threw a party every night. And just, oh, the noise and the beer cans and stuff was coming over the fence. And she was complaining about that. Something ought to be done about that. And she says, one morning, the Lord says, Ida, y'all travel all over the world doing spiritual warfare. Why don't you do it in your backyard? And if you didn't know her, she had a high voice, little short lady. And when she's got a hold of something, we always say she's got her hobnail boots on. She got out in that backyard and she started rebuking. And I mean, you probably could have heard her for blocks against all that debauchery that was going on across the alley. 2 days later, they moved. But she had put up with this for years. But they were out teaching spiritual warfare all over the world. Why don't we do it at home? Why don't we do it at home? Always, always flee from situations that's going to get you in trouble. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not be fulfilled with the lust of the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. Spirit of Christ. We got to walk in it. We got to walk in it. Satan tries everything he can. Every situation you can think of. Like as we were talking about this new wave of stuff. If us Christians will stand up and pray against this onslaught that's going on now, it will be defeated. It will be pulled down. But are we tempted not to? Are we tempted not to get involved against the war, against the things that's going on in the heavenlies right now, where all Satan has got everybody stirred up? I read someplace that movie is already grossed nearly $250 million. $250 million going to hell? And that's where the money's going, into a pit of hell? Wow. In Mexico, what could you do with $200 million? Yeah. But you know, all right, you could. You could, all of us, Glenn here, you know. But all that money is going to Satan. He's draining the people. Huh? Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know. Ron Howard and who's the actor in it? Forrest Gump? Tom Hanks. Forrest Gump, okay. Opie, isn't that a combination? Opie from, and Forrest Gump. Glory, hallelujah, man. Woo! For the fault the law could not do that is in that was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8, 3 and 4. He died, went to the cross, and he died for our sins. He died so we could live. Now they're saying, you know, he didn't die on the cross, he went to the south of France and all this stuff. If he did, why do we need this? Why do we need it? Why do we need the Word of God? Because the Word of God is truth. We need the truth. We need that as a weapon to come against Satan when we're tempted. I asked the question Sunday. I said, how many of you were tempted not to come to church this morning? One little girl. She said, man, I would have liked to slip in. One honest person. But she overcame and she came in the church. And how many times have we been tempted to avoid the things of God sometimes? Pastor friend, one time, we had a couple, the house fire, and he had been ministering to them, trying to lead them to the Lord, and he passed by the house that afternoon, and he had started to stop, and he said, no, I just decided I didn't need to stop. I had other things I needed to do, and he went on. Well, Satan had told him, said, you don't need to stop here today. That night the house burned and they burned in the house. Satan knew what was fixing to happen. And he needed another couple of souls in hell. Because the pastor gave in to that temptation. No, you don't need to do this. You need to go on home.
How many times have you started to pray, I'm going to set this hour aside, I'm going to start praying. I got to pray.
And you start praying, and the parade starts. Well, I should have been out there mowing the grass. Well, I've got to go get the car fixed. Well, where's that coming from? Sister Sue's in the hospital. You should be up there with her. All this hour that you're fixing to set aside to pray. Phone calls. Phone will ring, right? Where's that coming from? It's the enemy. And you have a choice. Do I answer the phone or do I pray? Do I go mow the grass or do I pray? You have a choice. Temptation. Temptation. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Now, sometimes we can have a lot of wisdom, but we don't understand. We have a lot of wisdom, but we need understanding. We have a lot of knowledge without wisdom. If you have knowledge, you have to have wisdom on how to use that knowledge. So don't let Satan tempt you. Don't let him get that toehold. Don't let him be the one that comes and steals your joy or steals the opportunity that you had to witness to somebody. Don't do that. Let him be rebuked. Let Satan be rebuked. And it doesn't... You have to stand up to him. And you can't be mealy-mouthed about it. You can't. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Make him understand. Now, Satan is not hard of hearing. You don't have to yell and scream. But you have to have authority behind that voice. It's like a policeman. He has a badge which gives him authority. How does he enforce that authority? By the gun on his side. That's what he enforces that authority with. We have been given the authority to deal with Satan. How do we enforce that? In the name of Jesus. That's the way we overcome temptation. Get behind me. Now, don't let him get out in front of you. Because if he's out in front of you, he's leading you. He's leading you. Don't let him do it. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as the common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, God's given us a way out. And that way out is the authority He gave us. We have to have authority. We have the authority. We have to use it. Because the more you use it, the more comfortable you get by using it. You start seeing results. You start seeing results. So when the tempter comes knocking on the door, you have a choice. When he comes knocking on the door, one thing you can say, Jesus, would you get that for me? Okay? Yeah, I'll just say, Jesus, that's old Satan. I'll go get that for me. I don't want him in my house. And that's what we teach in deliverance, that we open our house up for things to come into our spirit being to control us. So we are the ones that has the authority to usher them out. If he comes knocking on the door, don't open the door. He's not going to come in unless you open the door. So don't give the tempter the right to come in. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Remember, we have the authority. We have the name of Jesus, the name above all names, to come and to fight the temptation. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. We see so many of our young people that fall into temptation so easily because it looks good, it feels good, and everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't we? I'm thankful that we have great-grandchildren now. But I'm thankful that I don't have children that are in school nowadays. The things that's going on in our schools, the temptations. We've got little grandchildren, great-grandchildren that will be entering the school system. And I've got one already in the school system. But her mother's a school teacher, so she watches out after her. But things that's been taught in schools, it's nothing but the tempter. He is teaching. And if any of you are school teachers, I pray for you. Really. You've got an awesome job. I don't know how it is in Arkansas, but in Texas, the authority of the teacher is out the window. They don't have the authority of it. When I was going to school, something was brought up the other day. We would get sent to the principal's office if we chewed gum. And if you need a paddling, and they did it, you went to see the coach. You went to see the coach. But, oh, you can't do that nowadays. No. Because they give the children the number to call if your parents spank you or something. They have a number. You call and report your parents. Let's stand to our feet. You've been good. I appreciate this time. Let's see if I can find what this... it says, stand to your feet. It's in Ezekiel. Stand to your feet that I may teach you the Word of God. So when the pastor says, stand to your feet, he's being scriptural. Okay? All right. And sometimes I like to find out, you know, how the audience or the congregation follows instructions. Do you do what you see, or do you do what you hear? So, you know, let's take a little stretch, relax here, and then we're going to have some... just raise up and do this. Hey, okay, that's good. Now, can you do that? Look, can you see me? Now, touch your chin. Chin! do you, what we see, what we do? All right. Praise God. You may be seated. All of you, how many are in the deliverance ministry? That's your ministry is deliverance? Okay. All right. Some of the others. How many believe in here? You're a deliverance minister. You're a deliverance minister. You can do weddings and funerals and deliverance. Yeah, there you go. We used to have this friend over in England. He would call the office and we'd answer the office, Children's Bread, and he says, do y'all deliver? Yes, brother, we'll deliver. So we're going to do, and you know how deliverance works. They generally enter as a breath. They go out as a breath. I'd like for you to participate. We're all among friends here. And I'm going to call out some different spirits. You say, well, I don't have that spirit. Go ahead and take a deep breath and blow it out anyway. You know, if you don't have it, it's not coming out. When in doubt, cast it out. Okay? It may be down there. We had a couple, married couple come one time. And we generally like to do ministry at least the first session or so separately. But this couple said, no, we know everything. We have no secrets from anybody. And they had told us about their life, and it was a second marriage for both of them and all this. And nope, we're all open and honest. That's what this marriage is built on. We just have a few things we need to get straightened out. I said, now look. Sometimes when we're ministering, the Holy Spirit's going to drop something in our spirit that we need to deal with. And if He does, if the Holy Spirit does, we're going to deal with it. There is no secrets, all in all. So we started out deliverance, taking them through deliverance. And I think Kathy was ministering deliverance, and I was praying in tongues. And the Lord says, she's had an abortion. I was obedient, and I called out the spirit of abortion. Well, she broke down crying. She'd had abortion, and he didn't know it. So that was a whole new realm we had to start over. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will drop things into you when you're doing ministry. If He gives it to you, follow His instructions. Follow His instructions when you're doing deliverance. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Father, that we have the power and the authority over all spirits. All evil spirits that comes, Father, our way, we have the authority to come against them. We have the authority, Father, to rebuke, to cast out any spirit that may be hindering us or trying to indwell itself in us, Father. We thank You, Father, that what You're about to do here in this ministry, this time, Father, is going to set people free, Father. And that's what we're here for, Father, is to be free in You, that no hindrance, no temptation can come our way, that we are set free from the bondage of Satan, Father. And Satan, we say to you, flee from here. You have no authority here. You have no right here. And in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you out of this place. We rebuke you and all your little demons. Also, Father, we just rebuke them all. And in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, we come against the spirit of bitterness. Bitterness, go in the name of Jesus right now. There is bitterness. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bitterness. In the name of Jesus and by the power and authority that You've been given to us, we rebuke bitterness, hatred, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All of it, go right now. Just take a deep breath. All bitterness and hatred, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness. All unforgiveness. That deep down unforgiveness that you've got. In the name of Jesus. You've got unforgiveness. Get rid of it because it's a big hindrance. Unforgiveness will keep you from getting set free. If you've got any unforgiveness against someone, in the name of Jesus, you may think, well, I have forgiven them. But then when you see that person and something rises up in you, you haven't forgiven them. So all unforgiveness spirits, in the name of Jesus, go. Unforgiveness, go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, go. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. There you go. There's some of them coming out. Go. In the name of Jesus. Anger. Unforgiveness and anger go hand in hand. In the name of Jesus. All anger spirits, go. Loose them right now in the name of Jesus. All anger spirits. Anger right now in the name of Jesus. Anger against that person that you didn't forgive. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Frustration and intolerance, go in the name of Jesus. All of it, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Let it out. If you're needing some help, you need somebody to come and pray with you, just raise your hand. We have a couple of ladies here will come and pray with you. Or Kathy can come and help. Any of these ministers up here can come and help. If you need somebody to help or pray with you, just raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. All spirits of rebellion, this is self-will in the name of Jesus. Being self-will, rebellious in the name of Jesus. Rebellious to the things of God. Rebellious to your spouse or rebellious to your workplace. Rebellious in your workplace in the name of Jesus. Now go. Take a deep breath. Come on. Go. You're doing good. You're doing good. In the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rebellion, go. Stubbornness, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go. All of it, go in the name of Jesus right now. Stubbornness, rebellion, go in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let it out. They came in on a breath, they go out by a breath. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of strife, strife between husband and wife, strife between the parents and the children, go in the name of Jesus. All strife, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's one thing that Satan likes to do, is get in between the husband and the wife and stir up strife. If he stirs up strife between the father and mother, then there's strife in the children. In the name of Jesus. And then that strife comes into the church. They bring that strife spirit into the church. And it just floats out from them. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of strife, go. Loose them right now in the name of Jesus. We command those spirits to leave in the name of Jesus right now. Go. Loose them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And destruction, the spirit of destruction. In the name of Jesus, in the spirit of destruction, go. In just wanting to retaliate, destroy something. In the name of Jesus, I was ministering to a lady, and I learned a long time ago when we first started out. There's a lot of do's and don'ts in deliverance. I found out you don't sit right in front of somebody doing deliverance. Sit over to the side. I was ministering to this lady. And I called her and her husband. Boy, they were into it. They were in strife. He was in one room. She was in there with us. And I was right there, and I was calling out those spirits, and I said, retaliation. Pow! Right up the side of the head she hit me, man. Because that's what she done to her husband. They had a retaliation spirit. He'd go buy a new golf club. She'd go buy a new dress. She'd buy a new dress. He'd go buy another golf club. And it was, you know. So from that day on, I always sit to the side and a little way back. You know. I got wisdom, man. The old saying, hit him upside the head with the two before, you get wisdom. Get wisdom. Oh, thank you, Father. All that strife and bickering, in the name of Jesus, now go. Now go in the name of Jesus. Go. Loose them in the name of Jesus right now. All of that, go. In the name of Jesus. We're going to go ahead and deal with one of the biggest ones. And we got a beautiful chart of rejection back here. It's everything that you could think of about rejection. And it's so true. You know, I thought, well, I have never been rejected to amount much. pretty easy going. You know what goes on. I'm pretty easy to get along with. At least I think so. I don't know. You might talk with Kathy. But we had a minister that was calling, doing deliverance, and he was calling out rejection. He called out the spirit, football coach rejection. I hit the floor because he wouldn't let me play. You know, I showed up at all the practices, and I done. He was all real good. You're doing good, sister. Really, you know, come game times, no, you have to sit on the bench. I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know that until he called it out. Never heard it but called out before. Rejection by your football coach or basketball coach, whatever. In the name of Jesus, all rejection spirits, go in the name of Jesus right now. Take a deep breath. Rejection, self-rejection, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. All rejection spirits, go. Go in the name of Jesus. Self-rejection. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Rejection brings on rejection. In the name of Jesus. Now go. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Go in the name of Jesus. All of it, go in the name of Jesus right now. All of it, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All spirits of jealousy, go in the name of Jesus. Jealousy in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of jealousy, envy, go in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. All of it, go in the name of Jesus. The Lord's moving. The Holy Spirit's moving. In the name of Jesus. All jealousy. Jealousy of your husband or jealousy of your wife can be a strong jealousy spirit in the name of Jesus. Now go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go back to rejection. There is a rejection that takes place in the church. There is a rejection that takes place in the church. We come against that rejection spirit, that church rejection. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. And so many people leave a congregation because they've been rejected. Well, I'll just go. They don't appreciate me. I'll just go someplace else. In the name of Jesus. All spiritual rejection, go. Church rejection, in the name of Jesus, go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Just take deep breaths. Take deep breaths. Get rid of all that rejection. Thank you, Father. All of it, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, continue to... Lord, just continue to work, Father. Just continue to work, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. All the spirits that are going in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Oh, there is some that's receiving ministry. We'll just end this now, pick up later on. But there's some that's receiving ministry. If you want to go and just give support in prayer for those, that's good. But don't everybody jump in there on that person at the same time, you know. Let one do the deliverance, the other do support, okay? I thank you for your attendance this morning. I've enjoyed it. And like I say, I don't get to do much of this as far as teaching, but I enjoy it. And the way things look, I'm probably going to be able to do more of it. I think Homeland Security and me is about to part company. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that He has given me a good position. He's blessed me in all that I've done, and He has blessed our ministry. And with good people like you, and it's easy to minister to. Because you receive. You receive. And if somebody is receiving from you, it's easy to minister. But let me caution you. If you're receiving and you want more, you got to give out. You know, the Dead Sea is what it is. It's dead. Nothing lives in it. But there's fresh water that flows in that sea every day. No outlet. You can get absorbed in so much in you that it becomes dead. As you receive, you give out. And the more you give out, the more you're going to receive. So do that. Do that. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. We thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you, Father, for your ministry. We give praise and glory to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I just bless each one of you here. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed. You walk in blessings. You will receive a blessing. Expect a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. And the food. Okay, I'm going to bless the food. In the name of Jesus. All the food is blessed in the name of Jesus. As it enters your body, it gives you strength. That strength you need, a physical body that is strong, that can stand up to Satan and all that he has to come against you. A weak body is a weak spirit. Okay? Really. If your body is strong, you can stand up to everything that goes on. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.